Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Thus far the text. Things are getting heated. The religious leaders don't like the way this whole thing is headed. A few days prior, Jesus sauntered into Jerusalem, saddled on a donkey, making himself a king like Solomon and the Messiah coming in the name of the Lord, just like the line of David. He then overturned the status quo of the temple. Money changers just chased away, tables upheaved, a den of thieves run out by a whip. And now Jesus, he returns to the scene of the crime. He's teaching in the temple, but he shouldn't be in the temple. According to the chief priests and the elders, that wasn't his place. That was their place. He has no business being there. He had no authority to be there. What he was doing was unspeakable. Unlawful. They had had just about enough of it. The chief priests and the elders want to know how Jesus has the right, how he has the unmitigated gall, where he has received the authority to do the things that he has done, to say the things that he says, continuously says, over and over, to toss them out on their rear ends as if they're the ones in the wrong. So they ask him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" They structure their argument around the word and idea of authority, but they really couldn't care less about authority. And Jesus knows it. He's smarter than they are, imagine that. So he doesn't take the bait. They don't want to have a discussion about authority. They want to argue about something else. Jesus knows it, so he takes them there. "Answer me this," Jesus says. "Answer me, and I will go ahead and answer you. John was out there in the wilderness, baptizing people unto repentance. Where did his baptism come from?" Now here, Jesus has them between a rock and a hard place. You can just see them scurrying around each other, all huddled in a circle, whispering to each other, trying to outsmart Jesus. Because if they admit that John and his baptism came from heaven, that is, if the authority to go out into the wilderness and preach repentance came from God, then they would have to answer the next logical question. Then why didn't you listen to him? Why didn't you get baptized? But of course, they didn't believe that John came from God. He was just a silly little kook, living in the desert, eating locusts, dressing up like Old Testament prophets. But he was no prophet. He was at best just a cult leader, stirring up trouble. But if they admitted what they truly did believe about John and his baptism, that John's baptism came from man, that is to say that it had no divine authority whatsoever, that John just made it up, then the crowds would go berserk. For the people loved John, knew him to be a prophet. Many received his baptism. And if the chief priests called John a phony, then the crowds would surely rise up against them. And maybe not like the way that we see crowds rising up today, with riots and uprisings. They would certainly make things a little difficult for the religious authorities. The people would certainly stop listening to them, stop doing what they were told, stop following blindly the rules and regulations that they put forward. And then, where would that leave the chief priests and the elders? Out there in the cold, all alone. And so they answer the question with no answer at all, which actually answered the question better than actually answering it. "We don't know," they say. Which really is to say they certainly did know, or they thought they knew. but they refused to say so. And all of that proves right there, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the chief priests and elders weren't concerned about authority at all. They were just concerned with power. Power and authority, they've become synonymous in our nomenclature of today. We use them almost interchangeably all the time as if there's no difference, but there is a difference. Sometimes we think it might be slight, but sometimes it's actually very important. And maybe the best way that I can demonstrate this is with an example. If I come up to you while you're sitting up in your car, and I point a gun to your face and force you to get out and then drive away, I have no authority to do that at all, but I do have all the power in the world, don't I? Might makes right in that scenario. And you can whine all you want about my lack of authority. I won't care at all as I'm laughing and driving away with a new set of wheels. Now, how does all this affect our gospel reading for today? Whatever the authority the chief priests had, the elders had, used to have, and they did have authority, now it's gone. They had been placed in this religious structure, into these offices, because God had granted it to them. And they were placed in these offices, chief priests. Their job was the stuff of sacrifices in the temple. Elders, they were supposed to lead the people in the ways of the Lord. God had granted them this authority. But they had been corrupted by power. They thought that their authority begot their power and that their power had no ends, no bounds. But as soon as they exercised this power to force people away from God, away from forgiveness of sins, away from grace and mercy and gospel, into works righteousness, turning the temple into a den of thieves, as soon as they had done all of this with their power, they lost all their authority. At this point, though, they didn't care about authority. Real authority, godly authority. They believed that power begot authority, which means that because they had the bigger gun, they could dictate what was right and wrong, what was good and evil. But then Jesus, he just strolls into Jerusalem and cleanses the temple, kicks them all out, and then the chief priests are left without authority or power. And they're determined to get it back. Mostly just their power, though. The authority that would come, they're sure of it, if it even mattered, once they got their gun back. This all sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? Kind of hits a little close to home. Because that's exactly how sinners are apt to react when God points out their sin. What do you mean I can't do that? What do you mean I can't ogle the neighbor next door? What do you mean my body isn't just my body and I can't do whatever I want with it? What do you mean marriage is an institution set up by God defined to be one man and one woman until death parts them? What do you mean I can't cheat a little bit on my taxes? What do you mean I can't disobey my parents if I don't like what they're telling me? What do you mean I can't hold a grudge against my brother? Disobey the government if it seems a little bit unfair? Gossip about the woman down the road or at the end of the pew? Jesus, who do you think you are to say that you're the way, the truth, and the life? What gives you the right to say that? Tell me, by what authority can you say that I can't do the things that make me happy? That I can't make my own religion? That I can't make my own truth? Who are you to call me a sinner? And then Jesus, he goes ahead and poses a question like he did in our gospel reading. And our sinful flesh doesn't like it, because if we answer his question about authority truthfully, it can only damn us. We just like to be able to cherry pick Scripture, God's Word, use the things that work for us, just disregard the rest. We like to be able to set up ourselves as the ultimate authority and say, this part of God's word is good. It's true for me, but that over there, not so much. Because that stuff over there, that points out the sin that I don't want to give up. And that stuff over there, even more so, explains and points out and shows me that I am by nature sinful and unclean. That from the very point of conception, I'm an enemy with God. This really brings it all to the heart of this issue, doesn't it? Who really has the authority? God or us? To answer it bluntly, it's God. We know that. It's Jesus. He's the one who has the authority. And yes, we pretend that we have it. And yes, we're able to really do whatever we want. But we think that because we have the ability to do whatever we want, that also means that we have the authority to do that. That's not authority, though. We might have the power to disobey God, but we certainly don't have the authority to do so. Or the authority to say that God is wrong when he condemns us of our evil ways. And we know this. Deep down inside, we really do know this. So the only way out is for us to question God's authority. And then he poses that question right back at us, and we're just at a loss, because if I admit that he has the authority, then I have to admit that I'm wrong, and I have to answer why it is I'm doing what I'm doing, and acting how I'm acting, and believing what I'm believing. But if I continue to say that he doesn't have the authority, that I have the authority, I do have to kind of speak against and justify myself against that law that's written on my heart, that conscience that always pricks us. Neither of those things is our sinful flesh really good at doing. So really the best that I can do in this situation is just pretend to be ignorant. I don't know, God, who has the authority. Which really shows that we never had the authority. It was never ours in the first place. And all we ever really cared about is power. The power to do whatever we want. The chief priests and the elders, they refused to answer Jesus' question, so Jesus doesn't answer them. Not yet, anyways. It would really do no good for him to explain it all to them right then. Their hearts have been hardened. I pray ours haven't. So instead he just stays silent, knowing all the while that eventually, and by eventually I just mean in a couple of days, they're going to use their power to arrest him under the cover of darkness. And they're going to use their power to find him guilty in some sort of sham trial. And then they're going to use their power to crucify him. Jesus knows all this. And yet he willingly allows it to happen. Of course, Jesus has the power to stop it. 1,000 legions of angels would come at his beck and call, free him from his chains. At the snap of a finger, he could stop the chief priests dead in their tracks. In the blink of an eye, he could end our life and cast us into hell. But Jesus isn't really all that concerned with power. He only cares about authority. And oddly enough, his authority is going to be shown in weakness. Jesus has authority. Real and true authority. Authority over everything. He does have the authority to call good good and evil evil. He has the authority to denounce the sinner. He has the authority to tell us that we are wrong, that we have sinned, that we deserve death and damnation. He has the authority to call us out, say that we've turned his house into a den of thieves, that we've turned God's things into the most egregious and horrible of atrocities. He has the authority to proclaim loudly his law. And there will be a day in which his authority and his power come together. That's on that last day. I wouldn't want to see that. But more importantly, he has the authority to take all of the power-hungry sins the sins of the chief priests and the elders, and the sins of the harlot and the tax collector, and your sins and mine. He has the authority to take all of those and put them on his own back, and carry them to his own cross, and kill them with his own death. Jesus has this authority because all authority is his. He's God in the flesh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, Mount Sinai, the God of all creation, the God of salvation. The authority is his because it's derived from him. The Father has placed all things under Jesus' feet. Jesus reigns as prophet, priest, and king above everything. There on the cross, all things are his. There in his nail-marked hands, Jesus holds authority over sin and death. There in his nail-pierced feet, Jesus tramples the enemy all the way to the gates of hell. There in his spear-driven side, Jesus showers the world with the forgiveness of sins that frees them from false authority and false power and sin and death and the devil. By what authority does Jesus throw out the money changers, dismiss the chief priests and the elders? By what authority does he condemn them and the world and you and me and all sinners with his law? By the same authority that he calls you saints. By the same authority that he frees you from the eternity of hell. By the same authority that he declares to you just today that you're forgiven. He washes you clean. That he provides for you a table of his holy and precious body and blood. By what authority? By God's authority. By his. In the name of Jesus.